Welcome back to the Power Hour Radio Show. Karen Cataline with you. Always a pleasure to act as guest host, especially on Cash Friday. If you'd like to comment, write, call, whatever, whatever you want to do, visit me at my website, KarenCataline.com. Karen spelled the normal way, Cataline spelled KATALINE.com. We won't go into the whole Karen thing, you know, middle-aged white woman who complains a lot. I don't know. I think that's kind of racist, but that's another story. Everything is racist today, so why not that? And, oh, yes, if you'd like to email me, you can email me at Karen at KarenCataline.com. That's all you got to do. And I love getting email from, you know, good, bad, indifferent. I don't care. I think interaction is what we are being encouraged to eradicate, among other things, in this country. So speaking up, dissent, all of it is good when it's communication for, you know, a reason, a purpose, and to connect. Good. So I really am excited because I invited somebody I consider a personal friend, somebody who I have the utmost respect for, and he's what I call a liberty pastor. Now, I've been in search of liberty rabbis. I found one so far. that doesn't mean there aren't more, but a liberty pastor in this case is someone who gives sermons not only on faith, but on freedom too, and is an unabashed ability to do so. In fact, he'll tell you in just a moment how he set up his church in such a way that he doesn't have to kowtow to the government in order to utilize his free speech to talk about faith, family, and liberty. His name is Stephen Grant, Pastor Stephen Grant, Senior Pastor at Destiny Christian Center. He's been in the ministry for more than 25 years. He and his wife, Cheryl, are the happy parents of two daughters, Elizabeth and Sarah. And welcome, Pastor Stephen Grant, to the Power Hour Radio Show.
Thank you, Karen. It's good to be with you.
Not only are you stellar in so many ways, but you have a tremendous radio voice. You do. Yeah, it's like butter.
Well, thank you. I do like radio. I've enjoyed it in the times past, and you and I have chatted offline as well. And so, radio is a great forum because people can listen and then weigh in with social media these days, and it can be very interactive, whereas many times television cannot.
That's so true. You're more passive, and I've always been a fan of it for that reason, because we can create pictures with words and interact in real time, and let's just hope it's not a dying art. I hope it's not. Pastor Stephen, talk to us about how you were able to set up your church in such a way that you don't have to be muzzled like that face eraser mask, and you get to talk about whatever you want in your church, and tell them how you might tell other pastors how to do that.
Well, through the years, I have been a church planter and not just a pastor. And so we've planted three churches with the help and grace of God, and I was just one of those pastors that always set things up under 501c3 status. But then, of course, through legal groups and even pastoral legal groups, you get warned that there are things you may or may not do and things you may or may not say. And I was one of the compliant until we started discovering how the law was written. And one of the things that we discovered about 7 or 8 years ago now is the fact that the law actually codifies churches. This is under United States tax code now, not under 501c3, but under 508c1a. And so section 508 in U.S. tax code is all about churches. And the thing that we discovered is that we could get our employer ID number, we could apply as a church, And under 508, we were mandatorily exempted from taxation. We were mandatorily exempted, and we are also accepted as a church. And so we decertified as a 501c3, filed under 508c1a, and also filed with the state by affidavit, and the state that I pastor in accepted that. And but there are some caveats. Number one, the church that I pastor or any of its auxiliaries cannot take any federal or government funding. So if there's a block grant to feed the hungry, or if there's a block grant for a battered women's shelter or something charitable, I cannot take government money to do that. It all has to come from contributions to the church or the organization. However, mm-hmm. I am unmuzzled and I am unfettered. So I can say something. I can say anything. I could actually endorse candidates. I could take positions from the pulpit. And technically, the government, the state, the feds cannot do anything about that. And that is becoming all the more important these days because government money is coming into our lives with more and more strings attached, as we're seeing with the COVID jab. And so it becomes very critical that the church remains free, because only the church that remains free is going to be the church that remains open in time to come.
Mm-hmm. And to that point, among so many others, we had a little group of what I would call mastermind people that met throughout the beginnings of the pandemic. You never closed your church, ever. And we lamented long and hard about the fact that a lot of churches folded and rolled over. Where do you see that today with the churches rolling over to mandates, less or more?
I see it more. And the sad thing is now that the church has reopened, or at least some of them have reopened, many of them are still social distanced. Some of them are wearing masks. Some are now mandating COVID jabs. I know a number of clergy. I talked to pastors last week whose denominations sent down an edict from on high, so to speak, saying you as pastors need to take the shot and your congregation needs to take the shot, and this is how we love each other. So once again, the individual liberty that Almighty God in the Bible began is being destroyed from the pulpits of America. And so it becomes an appalling thing. Abraham couldn't have heard from God because it didn't go through the right denominational channels. That's appalling because individual liberty actually begins in the scriptures, as you and I know. And it's a Judeo-Christian value alone. It's not Taoist. It's not Hindu. It's not any other religion. It is overtly Judeo-Christian. And I believe that the spiritual battle behind this is actually anti-Judeo-Christianity.
And I agree with you. I agree that there has never been a socialist or communist or authoritarian regime that did not place as one of its very first priorities to put down religion because it is a competition to their sense of that they are God in their universe and they want to be God in everyone else's as well.
Well, and the other thing is that pastors and church leaders will say, well, that's a political issue. We are here for spiritual issues. But let me say this. What has happened is that the world around us that we live in has been very clever. They will take an issue like liberty or taxation. They will take an issue like what you inject into your bodies or how your body is to be cared for under Almighty God. And they will say, now that is a social issue. That's a political issue. You can have your spiritual stuff. But the danger is this, that all of that is spiritual and all of that is codified in the Bible. And so we need to reclaim that narrative and say, no, you don't have a right to that because we had it first. God had it first, and he gave it to us, not to you. Now, we're going to tell you how this works. And that's where the church needs to stand up again.
Yeah. And you're among the great leaders of enlightening, encouraging, and persuading people in the church to show that kind of courage. It's a tough job, but you're just the right person to do it, Pastor Steve. You are.
Thank you.
We have a lot to talk about, and thankfully you are very gracious and generous with your time. So we have the better part of this segment and the next to talk about it. And I was, I had this sudden, I don't know if you could call it an inspiration. I wrote a short piece on my website, KarenCataline.com, shameless plug, called Coming Attractions, How the Left Stole Christmas. And I couldn't help but think that this coming shortage, we've been watching the buildup of this supply chain crisis completely and 100% orchestrated and created by the same people who are showing all this compassion now. Oh, we're so sorry. We're working as hard as we can because we love you. We care about you. They're the ones that created it. And it's coinciding just perfectly with Thanksgiving and Christmas, the holidays that the left, the hateful left, hate more than any other because they are quintessentially American holidays. So my point in this piece, and I'd love to get your thoughts and how we can put this out there, the idea, I don't care if it's my piece or not, that, you know, everybody knows on here that my tradition happens to be Jewish, but I grew up watching How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I grew up watching Charlie Brown's Christmas, unabashedly talking about Christian scripture at the end. And I remember how the Grinch learned that even if he took away the presents and he took away the tinsel and he took away the decorations and even the roast beast, he could not take away Christmas because Christmas isn't about that. I can only hope that this year Americans will learn that. I have no illusions that these petty tyrants will learn it, but I think America stands to learn it. Christians get closer to their Christianity, Jews get closer to their Judaism, religious pluralism in general flourishes under this kind of oppression. So that's my I'm sorry short speech. I'd love to hear you wax philosophic about this one.
Well, I believe you're spot on. All of our idols are being stripped away. And, we've got to remember that COVID did not cause this crisis. It merely revealed it. And so the left is using levers of power to try and get at everything that we have. But it will actually bring the pure back to their roots. You know, many years ago, there's a story told about Thomas Aquinas and Pope Innocent II, because Thomas Aquinas was asked to appear before the Pope, and there was a large, large pile of money spread before the Pope, and the Pope said, you know, no longer can we say silver and gold have I none. And Thomas Aquinas said, yes, and no longer can we say in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The church, when it is pressed, goes back to its origins. The Jews, when pressed, go back to their origins. Those origins are rock solid. So I believe that this holiday season, when we come into Hanukkah, when we come into Christmas, when we come into Thanksgiving, I believe it's a great opportunity. And so if they think they're going to beat us down, they've got another thing coming. We win.
As we like to say in Hebrew, Baruch Hashem.
Yes.
Well, it's just so grinchy of them to do this during Thanksgiving and Christmas. We know they hate the 4th of July, the birthday of the country. We know they hate anything called Independence Day. And boy, do they hate Thanksgiving and Christmas. So it's an opportunity.
I'm not sure if we should be saying, you're a mean one. Mr. Grinch, or...
Oh, God, that voice. You could do that. You could do that. You should do that with your church.
I don't know if that's the latest hymn or Twisted Sister singing, "We're Not Going to Take It."
Well, you know, we could do with a little bit of encouragement, and you have like a studio where, by the way, I'm going to give a shameless plug for your Christian, Destiny Christian Center. So many of your sermons are online. Not only has your church never closed, but you do a lot of your sermons online, and people can participate right there, right then. So many things are done on Zoom now. Tell everybody, as long as we have the opportunity, how people can hear your sermons on Sundays. And do you do them on Wednesdays, too? I don't know.
Yes, we have our Sunday service and our Wednesday prayer service online. They can visit godsdestiny.com. That's www.godsdestiny.com. And they can enjoy what we have there. They can contact us through that portal. And we're happy to minister. That is one of the opportunities. The enemy tries to create crises and tries to motivate all of our emotions and stir us toward fear. We know as Jews and as Christians that what that does is it propels us toward faith. And so we refuse to bow down to the fear. We refuse to bow down to the communist collective mindset, and we take our stand and we bow before God alone.
Yeah, that's a wonderful thing, and you are so eloquent. I think if I could humbly suggest that your media center there do something like with your voice, "You're a mean one, Government Grinch." Trying to take away Christmas, trying to take away people's religious faith, trying to take away their body autonomy. I think it has legs. I don't know about you. I do. Well, I got a list of...
It would certainly be enjoyable.
Oh, it would. And you've got the
voice. It would certainly be enjoyable.
It would.
Thank you.
And it's also touching that on a line full of who knows, who never knows who's listening here on the Power Hour. There's shortwave listeners, there's podcast listeners after the fact, there are people listening live. To offer that on a radio program that you are willing to minister to people, I mean, that's really the light that you shine so brightly and why I have so much respect for you. We have a list
Thank of you.
Things I want to get to here, and one of them I want to take some time. This may take us a little while to get into, but I love it. Oh, all right. Well, all right. We have a couple things. I'm going to give you a list. I want to talk about America in the Bible. I want people to really talk about that, because I've been doing a little studying of my own religion, which I figure I ought to start with my own. You know, I think it's a good idea.
Absolutely.
A Rebbe will do that, but I also want to talk about how you got kicked out. This is a tease for everyone. You got kicked out of a school board meeting just last week, and it was perfect timing. So we can talk about how you got kicked out of a school board meeting, and sadly, your daughter, after your daughter's a nurse, right?
No, this is another relative that's a nurse.
Oh, another relative who's a nurse, after saying she did a stellar job, she was suspended indefinitely without pay, unable to get unemployment because she refused to take the jab. So we gotta cover that too. This, however, somebody sent me about a prayer that he's known as the Rebbe of Blessed Memory in Chabad, worked forever. He's been gone for a couple of decades now, I think. But he tried to do the Pledge of Allegiance in schools. And this is the prayer. In the 1955 New York Board of Regents, he tried to get passed. And, of course, they took out prayer from school. They took God out of the school. It said, this is the prayer, "Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence on thee, and we beg thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country." They wouldn't allow it. So I want you...
Would not allow a prayer that simple.
No. And that humble and that respectful Because, you know, look what it's brought rise to today. No respect, no simplicity, no boundaries, and no moorings whatsoever. I love the book that you wrote, America in the Bible, and I'd like you to take a little bit of time to talk about that for people, so if they want to get the book, they can. You are a stellar writer. You also wrote a book called Rules for Rebuilders, going off Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, and so you have a lot of those great books online, but talk to us about America in the Bible.
Well, there are so many people that think that America got lucky, or that somehow America had brilliant minds, whereas other nations were subservient, or somehow we just hit the lucky jackpot. But I actually believe that it is because God has intentionally had his hand on our nation. You know, the first olive branch of Christian liberty was extended by George Washington to the Jews. And in 1783, he extended the letter of fellowship and freedom to the Jews, because at that point he also recognized the strong interaction between the Jews and the Christians, and the fact that we have common roots and a common bond. And that same olive branch was never extended, by the way, to other religions, even though we have been a land of religious freedom. You know, Buddha was not on the boat. The first mosque was not built until 1929 in the United States of America. So they had no founding and no developing of the Judeo-Christian roots. So as I delved into this a little further, one of the things that I was given to understand is I had to know
have to
America's roots.
Take a hold there. I'm always just entranced with the story, but we're going to just take a quick break. We'll pick it up there when we get back. America in the Bible with Pastor Stephen Grant. You're listening to the Power Hour Radio Show. Karen Cataline sitting in for this Cash Friday. We'll be back right after this.
Products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the OregaResp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Jay with the Power Mall. Stock up now on your winter wellness essentials from OptiVita Health with our buy two, get one 50% off sale. Save on OptiVita Silver Liquid, Silver Gel, Silver Lozenges, Vitamin C, Vitamin D, Super Krill Oil, and don't forget your Silver Spray Accessory Kit. Shop the sale until October 31st. To order, visit thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829. Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829. Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
We We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
We're back, Karen Cataline, guest hosting here, the Power Hour radio show. Tell me if this wouldn't be a terrific thing for either the Babylon Bee or a new cartoon perfect for the times we're living in. Go for it.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. There is evil in your soul. You are jabbing us with needles. You're anything but whole, Mr. Grinch.
I love it. Well done. Is that a great voice? Perfect for the Grinch.
You know,
the government.
Karen, we could write that.
We should write that. We should write that. We got to get somebody, okay, anybody listening, got cartoon experience, whatever it takes. You know, those are the kind of things, those pop culture things that have legs. For example, just as a passing thing, I spoke earlier about, let's see, go, what is it, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon. Yes.
Which I told the story about. Let's go, Brandon. Anyway, we've got a lot to talk about before the end of the show, so I'm gonna step it up here. I apologize for having to have interrupted you in your discussion. And by the way, everyone, we're talking to my friend and pastor of Destiny Christian Center, Stephen Grant. He's a stellar writer, speaker, shares the stage with his brother Stanley Grant, and he wrote a book, among others, called America in the Bible. Let's pick up where we left off.
Well, Karen, there's only one reason why a nation is blessed, and it is if they enter into covenant with Almighty God. And as a Jew, I know you understand this, because that is what has preserved and kept the Jews through the years in the Jewish state of Israel, is mm-hmm. that eternal covenant. And yep. so America had to factor into that. And as I did the research, and as I did more and more digging, number one, I developed an absolute love and a passion for history, but also for what framed America. If we know what built America, we know what can sustain America and what can guide America through the dark days, which I believe are still ahead for us, because it will not get easier until we take our stand. But I believe that God has his hand on America, and America was framed through Almighty God, right down to our nation's laws. Take, for example, our three branches of government. They were formed out of the Old Testament verse in Isaiah that says God is our judge, God is our lawgiver, and God is our king. That shows us that the three branches, legislative, executive, and judicial, all came out of the Bible. The word liberty is not a Muslim concept. Never has been, never will. They don't believe in liberty. It's not a Buddhist concept. The term liberty was found in the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, when God said to us, you must proclaim liberty. So it came from Almighty God to his people, and we had to adopt it, and we had to embrace it. And oh, by the way, when God said it, it wasn't just religious liberty. He said, I want you to proclaim economic liberty throughout all the land. And so all of these concepts and all of these designs have made America a great nation, and I believe she's worth standing for.
Well put. So to just put a fine point on it, you advocated for this book, America in the Bible. You wrote this book really as a textbook, didn't you, to show that you don't, you can have, you're not doing theocracy simply by teaching kids in school, and you were somewhat successful, about the Bible
right.
as history, because it has informed so many of our institutions. No wonder communists hate people of faith, and America for that matter. And so that's what you pushed,
yes.
and you did have some success in that, didn't you?
We have had success, and there's a wonderful curriculum that is actually out as a high school elective that is called The Bible in History and Literature. Most people do not realize that it is sanctioned by the United States Supreme Court. It is non-sectarian. So rabbis, pastors, and others have all sanctioned this. And in the state of Colorado, we have had a couple of schools that have adopted this once again at the high school level, which is tremendous because we will not understand some of the things that Shakespeare wrote. We will not understand some of the works of art of Michelangelo or others, Da Vinci. We will not understand some of the scientific discoveries and how they originated, and even Columbus and how he came to discover that the earth was not flat, but it was round. He did so by studying Scripture and found the Old Testament Scripture that says it is God that sits upon the circle of the earth. And so all of these issues bring forth America's history, and they need to be taught to our children again. I know if these things would have been taught to me in high school, I would have been thoroughly excited, but they've been stripped from us, so it's time that we rediscover them once again.
Mm-hmm. Pastor, talk about the radical secular socialist communist regime or left, and it isn't just the left, it's a lot of swinos. Those are swamp Republicans, swinos, who
they're
shivering, yeah, shivering in their boots over this, to think that the Bible could be taught as history is something they've been spending so much time unteaching and ignoring civics in this country. To teach the Bible as history, that's really going to aggravate them. So good for you. I love it. We have to move on because I teased about the fact that you got kicked out of a school board meeting in Weld County, Colorado. Tell us the story, if you would, Pastor Stephen Grant.
Well, once again, I'm a theologian, and in Jewish and Christian history and culture, masks have always been used to represent three things in the Bible: deception, tyranny, and subservience. And so every time you read about a mask or somebody covering their face in the Bible, you will find that. And in the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it literally says that we with unmasked face or unveiled face behold the glory of God and are changed into his image. That's a powerful New Testament Christian scripture verse. So in mid-September, I stood before the school board, and I said, it is unchristian for you to mask children as Christians. They should be able to observe a sincerely held Christian belief and have the option to mask or not to mask. You cannot prove that this is a medical issue. There is no emergency order in our state today, and so this is merely your rules, and therefore any Christian child or family can send their child to school unmasked.
Mm-hmm.
So this past Monday in October, myself and our associate pastor, one of our staff pastors, went to the local school board work session, as we have done for 6-7 years now. And we just sit and observe, take notes, and listen because we care about what happens in education in our community. As we walked in, the public information officer handed us a mask as we sat down. We were the only two people at that point from the public in the room. And so when this happened, I refused. And I said, I will not comply. And she said, I expected that. And so then the school board president, Michael Matthews, who is a Pharisee of a pastor, gestured to the director of security, John Gates, and said, you need to remove these people. And so security director John Gates stood up, said, I need to escort you from the room, and walked us out of the room. And as soon as he did, since he's well acquainted with both of us, and everybody knows that this is petty games, he stood outside the room and talked with us, not social distanced, with his mask removed, and apologized and asked us to understand that he was just doing his job.
Where have I heard that before?
What they did not know.
I'm just doing my job. Yes, go ahead.
Yes. So I believe that right now, probably what needs to happen is he needs to rip up his Don't Tread on Me Gadsden flag and sew it into yellow stars.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That is true.
But what happened is that they did not realize that a lady was going to join us that I had invited to the work session. And so when she came in and sat down, she texted me, and I responded. She found out what happened, and so she removed her mask. And she sat through the remainder of that meeting mask-free, and they did not remove her.
Because justice under the law or consistency has gone right out the window. Right out the window.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter anymore.
So they have discriminated. They have discriminated now openly, and they had a vendetta against me for speaking and for standing up against what they wanted to do. They are inconsistent in their values, and so we're working on things now to expose them and also demand their resignation. They no longer have the authority to lead.
Well, that's for sure. I'm thinking Landmark Legal Foundation is one option. What about you?
Because if they can represent me, we will get that rolling.
Actually, I just interviewed somebody from the Landmark Legal Foundation, and we'll talk. We'll talk off the air. All right. So
Let's talk.
Well, before we get to this other story, and we do have enough time, I mean, I could talk to you for, as you can tell, like hours, but I have been known to. And that is that we in Colorado, before I became a freedom refugee with my beloved husband, H.W., the guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish, we decided, just a couple of us, a few of us, about, I don't know, seven or eight of us, to have meetings as kind of a mastermind group. Because some of us realized that, the 44th president of the United States was the opposite of almost everything we ever stood for. He was right about community organizing. He was right about people joining together in meeting, which is, of course, one of the reasons why they wanted to shut us all down and consider each other enemies and be suspicious of one another so that we could not organize. So we get a blueprint to do the exact opposite of what they tell us, especially when it is unconstitutional of them to ask us. And so we were meeting just to talk about how what we knew was coming down was going to come down. And I would love to have been called crazy conspiracy theorist, but everything we talked about almost 2 years ago has come to pass and then some. Everything we expected. And yet, knowing like-minded people, knowing people in your neighborhood, knowing people who you can trust and who can trust you, that's one of the things they want to stop. So I just want to get your thoughts about that, about the fact that, yeah, we moved, but we're there in heart and spirit, and we love and encourage people to do the same in their neighborhood, in their community. Talk amongst yourselves.
Absolutely. Well, I believe that this is why they so feared the church, and one of the mandates that they did was to close the church and the synagogue instead of the liquor store.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? You can't go to a 12-step meeting to stop drinking, but it's essential that we keep all the liquor stores open. Not that I'm, you know, believe we ought to get rid of, you know, I'm not pro-prohibition, but it's interesting what they want to prohibit. They want to prohibit the family, faith, churches, synagogues, masculinity, and, the Second Amendment. Those are the things they want to prohibit. Yeah.
And so we need to watch what the left fears, number one. And number two, one of the things they did was they created opportunities for us. One of them is electronic communication. So even though you fled to a more friendly government state, we have been able to stay in touch and contact through Zoom, through the Internet, through telecom. And they really can't shut that down. We have been able to blossom and expand. And then, as we get into the different areas, then we can create our own local network in case things go dark so that we are all strengthened with what we've learned. And I believe that this is critical.
Yeah.
I also believe that it's very critical for patriots to earn their stripes. Now, the stripes I'm speaking of are scars. In the church of Jesus Christ in the old days, if somebody would come into the church that was not known and they wanted to speak before the congregation, the church elders would take the man behind the scenes and say, okay, take off your shirt and show us your scars. Today, and then if they would reveal the scars of their persecution and tell the stories of how they obtained them, then they were validated to be somebody that was credible. Today in the church and in the synagogue, we have many unscarred leaders. And we are all going to be thrown into the fire, and we are going to have to earn our scars once again in standing up against tyranny, in standing up against communism, and in standing up against evil. And so you've earned your scars. You've earned your stripes as somebody who has spoken out in the Jewish community. And I commend you for it. And I believe that there are other pastors beside myself who have earned some stripes of their own. And we are going to be the ones that have the credibility to speak out. Those who capitulate and those who give in are nothing more than chattel. And the left knows it, and they don't know it yet. And it's a very sad thing to watch.
Wow. So well said. You can see why he gives great sermons. I haven't heard them, but I get other sermons privately, so I appreciate it. One other point I would add is that many of the things that the left has done, and I'm calling it the left, but I'm talking about these tyrants, and we have a lot of, sadly, tyrants with R's after their names, too, it's backfired. And a lot of this is backfiring, a lot like Haman's noose, you know. It was because they kept kids home from school where parents could see their teachers, their kids' teachers telling them, don't tell your parents what I'm about to teach you. And then they watched what their kids were learning in school. And that was a backfire they didn't expect, where parents got to see exactly what their kids were being taught. And it is ugly, and it is Marxist, and it's bigotry. And they stood up against it, and what are they getting for their trouble? They're being called domestic terrorists. So, and that's a good thing, because now, again, the masks are being removed, right, Pastor?
They're completely being removed. And the sad thing is that the left and the globalists, the swinos, as you called them, I love that, they are actually creating a lesser society. You also mentioned that I had a relative that was removed
from
her job.
Yes.
She is a registered nurse. She's a specialist, highly skilled, highly degreed. This very morning, not an hour before we went on the air together, she was called in by her immediate supervisor and given an award and a large bonus for literally doubling the work and innovating in her nursing capacity, and they honored her. She got out of that office, and as she walked out of that office, she was called to Human Resources and suspended without pay for refusing to take the COVID shot.
How about
so this woman,
that?
This woman, who is highly skilled and a quality nurse, she's gifted, was removed from the medical facility, her badge deactivated, told she could not come back because she refuses to take the COVID shot because of her sincerely held Christian beliefs. And the church I pastor has religious exemption packets. In fact, we've put out over 25,000 in the last 6 weeks for those that want them. Many of them have been successful, but hers right now is in play, that's for sure. So this is what's going on. This is a quality woman. It makes absolutely no sense for the medical community to remove this woman that they just honored. And
it
so
harms
we
the patients
see that
too.
They're trying to destroy it. It
yeah,
does.
It harms the patients too, and
does.
They don't care. It's, yes, I'm sorry I stepped on you. It's the same as saying, we care so much about you, we're going to let you die and not let you get the transplant that you've been waiting for because somebody wanted to exercise their religious exemption and not get the jab. It's like something I said recently, being forced to pretend. Everybody's being forced to pretend this lie. It's a lie. But as long as you obey, they don't care whether you believe it, as long as you obey. And there are people who, as you've said, will not comply.
And so as we look at this, we understand that as a pastor, myself personally, yourself as a Jew, we have been content to deal and save the soul of the enemy. But there is something greater
that
needs to be saved and redeemed.
Save the soul of, that's when I think we lost you. Go ahead.
Well, we've been content to save the soul of the individual.
Right.
But there's something greater that is afoot and must be reclaimed. We must also save the soul of the nation. There's a Bible verse in the prophet Ezekiel that says this, and I sought for a man among them that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap for the land, but I found none. May that not be said on our watch. It's not just about standing for individuals. It is for standing in the gap for the land, for the land that we love. God bless America. And that's why we've got to get out and earn our stripes once again, is for this land.
That's Pastor Stephen Grant. He's eloquent, all right. And sadly, but maybe not so sadly, Pastor, the price keeps getting higher, doesn't it? The scars keep getting greater, doesn't it? If you don't stand up, if we didn't stand up for masks, against this con of a mask, we were going to have to stand up against the jab and more.
Yes. And you were, Karen, early in that meeting, you said about the mask, you said, it's not about the mask. This is about the draconian intentions that this site has. And as a Jew, you warned us about that. And you were absolutely right.
I hate to tell you, there were a lot of shuls and synagogues that just aggravated the life out of me because it was as if, and I hate to say this, they were hiding under the bed. I had to search and scour for Liberty Rabbis, and I found one. I'll name him. He's wonderful. The unlikely name of Rabbi David, Rabbi Yaakov David Smith, out of Passaic, New Jersey, who was writing letters to other rabbis saying, do not bow to medical tyranny. He was doing it at a time when rabbis were meeting and telling other rabbis in the community, let's do whatever we can to protect the public and do as we're told. No, that's not faith in God. That's faith in government, especially when you know that they're lying to you.
Yes.
Say that again.
But we must remember that God never needs a majority to win.
Yeah. Or like Gandhi said, even if you're a majority of one, even if you're a minority of one, the truth is still the truth. I think we have to wrap it up. Forgive me. You had a comment. What did you say there?
No. No, thank you.
Thank you. We got to wrap it up, and we're sort of losing you, so stand near a window for like a minute and a half. Tell everybody how they can find your books and listen to your sermons on Sundays and Wednesdays. They can do it right from their home, can't they?
They can. Tune in to godsdestiny.com. That's the website for the church I pastor, godsdestiny.com. You can find the books, America and the Bible, Fixing Immigration, Rules for Rebuilders, Israel, the Seventh Sign, on Amazon. So be sure and visit those, and feel free to contact me. Thank you for being a patriot, and thank you for being a warrior.
Thank you for being a liberty pastor. We got to start calling that and finding more liberty pastors. That's Pastor Stephen Grant. Thank you for your graciousness and your generosity of your time, and keep up the great work. You are a stellar example of courage and of faith.
Thank you, Kira.
Take care, and remember the Grinch. Okay, well, that about does it for us and for me and the Power Hour Nation. Thanks to Catherine and to Todd and to everybody at the Power Hour Radio Show. I am out of here.
Who's standing on the mountains? Who is on the earth below? Who is bigger than the heavens? And the lover of my soul. Creator God, He is Yahweh. Great I am, He is Yahweh. The Lord of all, He is Yahweh. Shalom, He is Yahweh. Righteous Son, He is Yahweh. The three in one, He is Yahweh.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.